And good afternoon, folks. It is Thursday, November the 3rd, 2016, 12:13 coming up on 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And all I have to say is after 108 years, 7 games, a 3-1 deficit, and 10 innings, a rain delay, a comeback by the Indians in the bottom of the 8th inning to tie it up. Miracles do happen. The Chicago Cubs. Who would have ever thought I'd say these words? The Chicago Cubs are the World Series champions. Let's go back to last night and listen to the last minute of that game. Now what is an historic moment. This was close to 1 a.m. East Coast time.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all! 8-7-10!
What an amazing moment it was, and we are joined by a man who was with us yesterday. He was with us when the Cubs got into the playoffs. He was with us when the Cubs won the playoffs. He was with us before Game 1 of the World Series. One of my dear, dear friends and favorite guests on this show. Oh my goodness, what a pleasure it is to talk today to longtime HBO boxing analyst and a man who's covered sports for more than a half century, Larry Merchant. Larry, what a great day.
It is a great day. I think I'll luxuriate in the warmth that game radiated for the entire winter, or at least until the election next week.
I have to tell you, Larry, I was late, because it got late last night here on the East Coast, close to 1 a.m., and I'm falling asleep last night. Well, that's not true. I was pretty wired watching this game, but, you know, it's getting late, and when it happened, because I'm telling you, I was feeling pretty bad in the 8th inning, when the Cubs won, I heard your voice say, "This makes Cinderella look like a sad story." One of the great lines that you said when Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. Where do you put this in great sports moments?
I'm not sure. You know, of course, the sports landscape, we often get great individual stories and dramas. For example, during the Olympics in Rio. But in what I still think of as the national game, even if it's not as popular as some other games these days, for baseball it will rank high. Back in the day when I would occasionally show up at Wrigley Field, there would be very scattered crowds, usually. They were not the sentimental favorites that they have become because of all of the suffering of their fans, many of whom were well-known people who came out of Chicago to make themselves bigger names elsewhere, but always had Chicago in their hearts. So certainly for serious baseball Chicago fans, this is a moment to savor over and over. And one of the best parts of it is you look at it, that team, and you think, we're going to see more of these guys in the postseason.
Absolutely. Larry, to me, the Cubs winning the World Series is a big story regardless, 108 years. But we all went into Game 7 yesterday saying, wow, who could have written this any better in a contentious year politically, a week away from that? You're playing the Indians, who are also a sentimental favorite. You come from two games back to get to the final game. You go to the seventh. Very rarely do World Series games do that. You start out with a tremendous lead, so the Cubs are feeling great. Then we go to the bottom of the eighth. And Chapman, something happens.
Well, you were on edge in that game, knowing that Chapman had been overused, almost abused by his manager in that series. Joe Maddon, who everybody agrees is a wonderful baseball manager, seemed to come to the ballpark determined to do certain things with his pitching, and he brought Chapman in early the night before. It was widely noted that there's just so much tank in that gas, or gas in that tank, and he just ran out and sputtered on the side of the road. You know, a guy who throws harder than anybody has ever thrown a baseball before, consistently. And so that led to some of the drama, and there were some other questionable moves in the game that Maddon made, taking Arrieta out as early as and quickly as he did, which almost seemed predetermined. You know, Ross and the adventure that he had in his last baseball game, making a couple of misplays and then hitting a home run. It was what baseball at best is, the chance to redeem yourself. It ain't over, and when the clock shows it's over. It's over when it's over. At least nine innings, hopefully. And then the rain delay added an extra element of drama. We learned that there was a big pep talk and rally in the Cubs dressing room during that time, something I never heard of, frankly. And so it just added drama upon drama. I thought the Fox production was excellent in showing the emotion of the players and the crowd, a crowd that seemed largely Chicago crowd. So it all just combusted and combined into a drama that those of us who could stay up late enough will never forget.
Larry, you said yesterday when you were on this program that you wanted the Cubs to win. You thought possibly the Indians had an edge, but you wanted to see a tie game going late. You got it.
Well, I'll give myself credit because I've been wrong enough on things that I said I wanted the game to be a tie going into the ninth inning. And sure enough, it was. But who could have imagined in the way it became tied? You got to give the Cleveland team and the organization a lot of credit. I'm sure Cleveland fans are not feeling too happy about it, but I think they got their money's worth out of a team that had been overlooked all season. And even if it broke their hearts a little, that's the nature of sports. Ultimately, all the cheering and the smiling are going to give way to heartbreak. But it'll be a warm winter in Chicago,
without question. Larry, you said that Like I said, that the Cubs were your sentimental favorite to win. Now, I'll admit, obviously mine too. And from the first inning, I felt comfortable. I really did. Even when the Indians got up to three, I felt okay because the Cubs were able to come back and score one in the top of the sixth. I was sitting, honestly, they were ahead by three in the bottom of the eighth. I was starting to write the Cubs' victory to you know, get out there on social media and all that, and there's the home run. When it happened, what'd you think? Did you think that's it?
Well, I'm reminded of something that the great trainer Dundee once said to Sugar Ray Leonard in the corner when he had that very great fight against Tommy Hearns. And it was a back and forth fight, and Leonard had his eye blown up, and Hearns was coming on, and his Leonard's trainer kept shouting in his ear, "You're blowing it, son. You're blowing it." And that's what I thought of with the Cubs. You're blowing it, kids. You're blowing it. But just like Ray Leonard, they came out and eventually scored the knockout.
I think I have my figures right here. It was only one other time in a Game 7 of a World Series where it was a tie ball game. I'm not sure how many times they've went into extra innings. It's very few. So it was a rarity last night. On many papers this morning, they're
just
calling...
Interrupt a moment, okay. Scott. I covered the Yankee-Pittsburgh game, World Series, in 1960. It's a while back. And that was the year that Mazeroski hit the game-winning home run in the ninth inning of the seventh game. The Pirates won 10-9.
And those moments don't happen. On a lot of papers this morning, so that's how long ago it was that it did happen. On papers this morning, they're calling it the greatest World Series game ever. You've seen a lot of them. Is it that?
I think it can be looked in that way in the sense that probably the biggest audience that a game ever had. Baseball in general could not hope for more than that. Already I'm thinking of spring training. So in that sense, it was a great advertisement for a game that a lot of us love, and a game that often is pushed aside by football and late in the season, but hasn't this season. So in that sense, but there have been great games. Famously, the Philadelphia Athletics came back from an 8-0 deficit to win a World Series game 10-8 back in the late 1920s. I guess from that point of view, that was the greatest game ever. But we've all seen a lot of great baseball games with surprise endings and tragic results. I'll go with it. It's the greatest game ever until the next great game ever.
That's exactly right. Larry, you mentioned it there, the rain delay, which ended up lasting about 25, 30 minutes last night. Apparently, this pep talk happened. Now, in sports, we never want to do what-ifs. But for the heck of it, it was a crazy game. It was a crazy year. If the rain delay doesn't happen, the Cubs were looking pretty upset after losing their lead. If the rain delay and the pep talk didn't happen, do you think we have the same outcome?
We'll never know. It's part of the fabric of the story, that huge piece of fabric laying over the outfield. And I'm sure a lot of Cleveland fans are playing that out, how all of the gods sort of seem to be aligned against them, then with them, and then against them. And they were all caught up in a magnificent theatrical baseball game. And ultimately, they'll never forget it, maybe because they lost. But listen, they had LeBron James lead the Cavaliers from 3 games to 1 from behind to win a championship last season. So they've been there and they've done that.
When we look at this, the dramatics, we talked about Madden's possible mistakes, taking pitchers out early, using Chapman too much.
How about a two-out, a two-strike bunt to try to...
Oh.
I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes.
And those are mad. There were certainly errors last night. When we go to the 10th, after a rain delay, 7th game of a World Series tied up, if you were the Indians, would you have ever loaded the bases on forced walks?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I assume that Terry Francona, who's been there before and is just a hell of a manager, whose father I saw play for the Indians many decades ago. I think he had control of it. I think he knows who his pitchers are. He's got an overpowering bullpen, and he's used it wisely. For some of those guys, it was the 7th game. They had been seen more often by the hitters. They themselves might have lost a little bit of it, both from the fatigue point of view and the emotional point of view. One team was going to win, and it turned out to be the Cubbies.
When this is all written about, once we get away from the 7th game a little bit, the story, there's a lot of stories in this series, and one of them we're not paying a whole lot of attention to right now is that the Cubs came back from a 3-1 deficit. Larry, when you look at this in the long-term effect, what happened to the Indians?
What happened? Well, the Cubs had deeper starting pitching. And even though they were down 3 games to 1, they had, some serious pitchers they could put on the mound. And you play out the innings and the games, and justice happens. In this case, I believe that the best team won. But if Cleveland had won, I would have saluted them. But the best team won the game and the series.
Two questions left in this, one about the game and then one kind of an obscure question. But the first thing I thought about when the Cubs won last night, everybody knew who picked up a newspaper yesterday that it had been 108 years since the Cubs had won a World Series. That means that if you are not 108 years old, and probably 113 because you'd have to be 5 to remember it, you've never seen it. So there probably are, I'm not going to say anybody, but I'm guessing nobody who had ever seen the Cubs on this planet today win a World Series back before television. Nobody.
Pretty good chance, yes.
Yeah, no.
I feel like I'm the almost always the oldest guy in the room, and I saw the Cubs play the Yankees in the 1938 World Series when I was 7 years old. So imagine going back 30 years before that.
Exactly. Well, and even the advent of television, you could not have even seen it on film. So last night was the first time the world, really, no dramatization, saw the Chicago Cubs win a World Series. So when that final out came, Larry, what ran through your mind? That's what ran through mine.
Well, I was just quietly exulting with the Cubs. I mean, there's nothing better than watching a bunch of grown men act like little boys after they had achieved the highest level of their game. And there was a winning emotionalism throughout the game on with the Cubs. There was one really terrific excerpt that they the production crew at Fox put in, showing Rizzo, their terrific first baseman, going over to the old catcher, Ross, and saying, how am I going to deal with this emotions? How do you do this? I mean, I never anything like that or heard anything like that. They were all on edge. They were admitting that this melodrama was coursing through their veins. And yet they were still able to catch and throw the ball and hit it. So I just watched the players dance off the field, dance around each other, and act like kids. And to me, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Here's the off-baseball question I wanted to ask. As I said, most contentious presidential election, as they say in modern times, will take place now in 5 days. The big scandal last week, of course, was that Director Comey released the email furthered the email story on Hillary Clinton. But
well, the scandal was that he released that non-information.
Yeah, that's
right. Rather than what was in the information, because we don't know about it.
That's exactly. Now, that being said, in a normal week, that would have dominated the headlines. And it has to a certain degree on the news channels, but not in the newspapers. The World Series has dominated.
Well, you know, as I think I said to you yesterday or sometimes, I wish the World Series had gone on for 15 games to get us past this election.
Well, here's
I've got an emotional stake in the election as well, and just like a lot of people.
Well, here's the tie-in that I did not realize until last night. That story obviously damages Hillary Clinton any way you look at it. But as I say, because of this, and there will be verberations tomorrow and Friday from the Cubs. That being said, it's a feel-good story. It's dominated the newspapers. It's kept Hillary Clinton's email story kind of on the back burner. And does everybody know where Hillary Clinton was born? Chicago.
Chicago, Illinois.
Irony, Larry? A little bit of irony?
Well, I hope that, you know, I think the whole country became Cub Nation in a way. There were only two teams left, and if you choose up sides, and the country could be divided into, I don't know if you call it red and blue states, but I think the country would look pretty much Cub blue. So that is a perfectly put by you, a feel-good story, that no matter what happens next week, we're still a great country if we could produce an event like that. this whole idea we're going to make us great again. We're great. And I loved it. And if it had gone on another three or four nights, I think we'd all be a little bit better off, and the doctor's offices would be less filled with anxious people.
Does Chicago win next week, Harry? Or Larry, excuse me. I'm thinking of Harry Carey now.
Yeah, well, they showed a lot of shots of Harry Carey. I knew him pretty well. He was a wonderful character who followed the Cubs around and an announcer back in the day when announcers would often stay would be the voice of their teams to their fans, and some of them would stay on for decades with the same team and would be very closely identified with them. And Harry Carey was one of those fellows. I don't know if he started Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but it's a wonderful moment in every Cub game. That everybody who was there and who came and who went. Ernie Banks was a good, and Ron Santo were pals of mine on the beat. And yes, I thought of them never achieving this high. So all's right in baseball world and Cub world.
Next Tuesday, does the Chicago girl pull the win out as well?
I hope so. I know that there are a lot of people who have been affected by changes in the world and want to demonstrate their rage or anxiety by voting for, oddly enough, a lot of rural people want to bring in a big city con artist slicker to fix their lives. Ain't gonna happen. And I'm a Hillary guy, and I'll have to somehow find a way to get through the next 5 days till the results are in. Maybe I'll watch the Cub-Indian game over and over for the next 5 days.
Until we get to the next nail biter. Larry, before I let you go here, I'm going to throw one to you, because one of my favorite things all your years at HBO, when there was a big fight, I quoted one of your lines earlier on from the Buster Douglas-Tyson fight. I loved at the end of the broadcast when they would go to you, and it had to be extemporaneous because you didn't know who was going to win the fight. And you would close up with maybe a minute or two about what you had seen and what we had seen. Close this portion of the program up for us, World Series 2016.
Well, for all the broken hearts and broken dreams that all baseball fans suffer, and celebrate. The Cubs became their standard bearer during these exciting and dramatic playoffs. So in a sense, the Cubs won one for us all, even for Cleveland fans. And good night and good luck.
The absolute best, Larry Merchant. Larry, you have my undying gratitude for sticking with us through this very exciting World Series, and I hope we talk again soon.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye. Larry Merchant. And if you didn't think we were going to play this song today, you are sadly mistaken. I think you know what it is. Here it goes. Stay with us. Much more surprises than you on the toll-free line over the next 2 hours. Don't go away.
Better get ready for a brand new day. Hey,
And go Cubs go, they certainly did last night, as miracles do happen in what people are calling the greatest World Series of all time. The curse of the GOAT in 108 years is gone. The Cubs are the World Series champions. And we are now joined by a very delightful woman, a piece of Cubs history, as certainly her husband was the most famous broadcaster in Chicago Cubs history, the late Harry Carey. I think she watched the game last night at the restaurant which dons his name, Harry Carey's in Chicago. She is Dutchie Carey. Dutchie, how are you?
Oh my God, I'm still on a emotional ride here. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe that game. You know, as I said before, after 108 years, I guess that's the kind of a game you have to have.
That's right. Dutchie,
so many ups and downs.
Oh, my. Well, this is what I want to ask you, Dutchie. You were at Harry's last night in Chicago. Tell me about the bottom of the eighth when the Indians tied it up.
Oh, God. You could hear a pin drop in the bar. You know, it was so loud, and everybody having such a good time, and all of a sudden that happened. Oh gosh, it would just the emotion. It was just, oh, it's so hard, you know. It was sad, and there wasn't any noise. And then they turned around. Oh, it was just unbelievable. I can't still believe that that game was the way it was.
When that moment happened in the 10th inning, a little after 1 a.m. East Coast time, when the Cubs did it, what happened? There at Harry, what went through you in that moment?
What was I? Well, I tell you what, Major League Baseball had sent the camera down, and they had that camera on me the whole game. Well, you can imagine, I'm wondering what kind of film they got. I was yelling and screaming, and then I went sitting down, and I was so sad, and then again we were up and down. I thought, you know, it's going to be a unbelievable thing. It's hard to explain. It's like it took 108 years to make this happen the way it did.
Oh, you were there with Harry for 17 of those years as he was the broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Never, I mean, there were some good teams, but never made it to the World Series.
Right.
When we get to last night, does Harry pass through your mind?
Oh, of course. You know, he has been on the news this whole playoffs. It's amazing to me how much people still remember Harry and think about him, and the seventh inning stretch out at the ballpark. He was, in my opinion, you know, the epitome of baseball. I think that when he went to the Cubs, he really made the Cubs what they were, what they are. There wasn't very many fans in the stands when Harry took that job. And I don't know what it was, but everybody loved Harry, and that seventh inning stretch that he was singing all the time. They just took a liking to him, and he became the most popular guy in the city, I think. And, you know, they even said he could have been the mayor of Rush Street. And
oh, absolutely.
But people really liked Harry, and they just haven't forgotten him.
Dutchie, to the point of they haven't forgotten him, like I said, it was 1 p.m. East Coast time here. You know, it was getting pretty late for us.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs win. We're all elated. And the second commercial after the win, Budweiser commercial, there's Harry Carey.
I didn't see it or hear it, but I've heard that they did do that.
You didn't know they were going to do
the
that?
Commercial, right?
Right. You didn't know they were going to do that.
No, I don't know anything.
You'll have to see it, but the fact that they did it, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, it just makes me thrilled. I'm thrilled about it because Harry really was an icon. I mean, he really, he just gathered people into him, and he just had that ability. He was a great guy, and in my humble opinion, I don't think there'll ever be another announcer like Harry.
He
made the game fun. Now you get all these statistics and all these numbers, and you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, Perry was talking about who was on the field and what they were wearing and everything else.
He was one of a kind for sure.
Yes,
Dutchie, now that this has happened, 108 years, it was a miracle for people. The stories are all over today. Mm-hmm. Have the Cubs done it now? They can do more. That's certainly true. But is this the defining moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know of a more exhilarating time in any sport as it was last night. And we had both emotions, up and down. It was just a great, great experience.
And now, Dutchie, after being busy for so long with these games, how are you going to rest and celebrate?
Well, you know, I am 87 years old. I deserve to sit down a while.
But wouldn't have missed this.
Pardon me, sir?
But you would not have missed this.
No. And in fact, I'm celebrating today by cleaning my house.
Well, Dutchie,
I am going to take it a little bit easy. Probably go to Palm Springs for a little bit.
There you go. I have to say, Dutchie, it wouldn't have been a celebration without having you here today. And who would have thunk it was
who
finally gone?
Who would have thunk it, Scott?
Oh,
I'm telling you, my goodness.
It
is. It's just a thrill, really. Yeah. I still kind of pinch myself to see if I'm still living.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I thought about this last night. I'm sure you have pictures of Harry in your home there. When you pass by one of them today, what does it fill you with?
Well, you know, I have a great picture of him at the ballpark, and you can just imagine how I feel about it. I thought, oh, gosh, if he was just here last night, he would have been out of his mind. Can you imagine Harry at that game last night, broadcasting that game?
It would have been a wonderful thing.
Wouldn't it, though?
It's almost serendipitous, though, that his restaurant lives on, and that's where you would be when it happened.
Yeah. Those kids keep me pretty busy down there, I'll tell you. They don't let me rest too much.
Well, Dutchie, you deserve to take a rest now, but I'm sure we will talk in the future. And what a baseball season it was.
It really was. And talk about a great guy. How about Joe Maddon?
Oh, man.
Oh, what a nice man. I had dinner with he and his wife. Are we running out of time here, Scott?
We got a few minutes.
Anyway, I had dinner with them one day during the summer. The nicest two people you'll ever want to meet in your life. I was just thrilled with him and his wife. They are really a lovely, lovely couple.
It's a wonderful story, and we do have about a minute left, but I want to say, now that this has all happened, now that everything is in place, do you think the Cubs' history is cemented in a way? They were called the lovable losers. Is that gone?
No, I would believe it was gone, because these guys played so differently this year. They weren't losers, you know?
No, they
were
weren't.
Winners. And it's been a great season, and it's been a fun season. And you just can't say enough about them. The Ricketts have been so great, and it's just a fun, I think they brought baseball back.
when it all comes down, who would have thought, because in the 80s and even into the 90s, and I think, you know, even if Harry was here, he would agree with this, the Cubs sort of became a punchline in a lot of ways for not doing well, and they had the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
They won the World Series in 7 games in extra innings with a rain delay. It could not have been any better. And, you know, I'm sure one thing would have come out of Harry's mouth last night, and I tweeted those two words on social media last night. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Dutchie.
Really, what were the words? Holy cow.
There you go. You got them. You got them without question.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Cubs. When Dutchie, like I say, this would not have been a tribute without having you on. And thank you for your kindness in coming on for so much during this series.
Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it. And go, Cubs, go.
Take care, Dutchie.
Okay, Scott.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dutchie Carey, wife of late Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey. Next hour, we are going to try to catch up with Jack Rosenberg and Pat Brickhouse and see what their feelings are. But if you want to call in and talk a little bit about the game, politics are to the side right now. We might get to them a little later in the next hour. But right now, we're talking about the Chicago Cubs doing the unimaginable and winning the World Series. And if you know the Chicago Cubs and you would have looked at them maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would have said unimaginable. One more Cubs song here before we go out this hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And we will be back next hour, continuing on with the celebration.
By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley, wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win, and if we should lose, we know someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way. We are one with the Cubs. With the Cubs, we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go out of. To the men and the legends we've known, teaching us faith and giving us hope. United we stand and united we'll fall, down to our knees the day we win it all. Yeah, I heard a man said, oh, let's play two, or did he mean 200 years? In the same ballpark, a diamond our jewel, the home of our joy and our tears. Keeping traditions and wishes made new, a place where our grandfathers, fathers, they grew. A spiritual feeling if I ever knew. And if you ain't been, I am sorry for you. When the day comes for that last winning run, and I'm crying and covered in beer, I look to the sky and know I was right to think someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, 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 someday we'll go all the way. Oh, someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way.
And just for the record, someday came at 1 a.m. on Thursday, November 3rd, 2016.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.